In the Mishnah class, we're up to chapter 7D, Ayin, and in the laws of Shema. And the heading of this, the caption on this laws is Mihem Apturim Mikriya Shema. Who are the ones that are exempt from reading the Shema? Uvoy Hei Si'ifim. There are five subsections over here. Subsection number one, Aleph. Noshim va'avodim peturim mikriyas shema. Women and also avodim, slaves. Some people say that the woman's slave in the home anyways, but it's a redundant. But noshim va'avodim peturim mikriyas shema. They are exempt from reading the shema. And the reason is, mipnei shehu mitzvas asei shazman groma. It's a mitzvah, it's a positive mitzvah, which is time bound. Which means, she'ein mitzvoson elo bizman shchivo bizman kima. The mitzvah of the Shema is only when you lie down and when you get up. So besides, already we've talked already, besides the, this is the way the law is, the way Hashem says, there also the rationale behind it is that we could not obligate women in mitzvahs that need to be done in a specific time due to their preoccupation with their other responsibilities, so therefore they weren't obligated, that Torah didn't obligate it on them, or whatever the reason may be. But nevertheless, it is proper to teach them sheyikablu aleihem oil malchus shemayim. They should accept upon them the yoke of the heavenly kingdom. Minimally, they should read the first verse, even though technically they may be exempt, but they should read it. Likewise, they would also be exempt from the blessings of the Shema. Sheyesh lem gamkin zman kavua shel erev, because they too have a set time. Shel erev ad netzach hama, the evening blessing you can only do till the morning rises, till the sunrise. V'shel shachar ad dalet shoes, and the morning you can only say up to 4 hours of the day. As we learned the before that Acholos Shoes means really 3 hours, meaning including the third hours, means up to the fourth hour. That means really a quarter of the day, 3 full hours, which means up to the beginning of the fourth hour. Commission is Bayer, Besimen Nunches, as explained in chapter 58. Over there it's in the Siftas Yud. Nevertheless, even though we're saying that the Shema, they're exempt, but Chayovim b'schiras yitzias Mitzrayim, they're still obligated to mention, to remember the Exodus of Egypt. Shehu mitzvah saseh shelo hazman groma, because that is a positive mitzvah which is not time bound. She mitzvoso b'yoyim u'balaylo, because the mitzvah is both on the day and on the night time. So lefikach yesh lahem levorich habrocha shenisakna yitzis mitzrayim. So therefore they should make that blessing that has been instituted for the Exodus of Egypt, shehu emes v'yatziv, which is emes v'yatziv. So it turns out like this. V'kivon shem chayovim b'tfilas yutches, since women are obligated to do the Amida, the prayer of Yud Ches. Shmon Esrei, Kimo Shiz Bar B'Simen Kuf Yud or Kuvav. It's in Kuvav. So Yeshlem Gamkein Lismech Gula Litfila. They can bring close the Gula Litfila. So it turns out the way the Shulchan Aruch says over here that women actually should say the parsha of Tzitzit, although women don't put on Tzitzit. But still, the parsha of Tzitzit, which has the mentioning of the Exodus of Egypt, women are obligated as men. And then the blessing that follows it, Emes V'yatziv, that is also connected to the, they should do it too. And then they have to daven the Amida. So basically, and Shema Yisrael, they should say anyways. So they might as well do already the whole thing. Now the question becomes, what about the blessings that precede the Shema? Because we all know that one is not allowed to make a blessing if you're not obligated. You can't just make a blessing. You can't mention God's name in vain. So like, that's why we're very careful. You know, when you eat, if you make one bracha, you don't make another bracha. Anytime mentioning God's name, it's in the Ten Commandments. It says, don't mention God's name in vain. So we're not allowed to just make a bracha. So it would seem, though, if we should say that women are not obligated in the blessing that precede the Shema, they should not be allowed to do that. And this is a true, but this is an interesting rule that we know that women, even if they're not obligated, if they want to make the bracha, they allow them to make the bracha. The Rebbe, Alter Rebbe says here in the parentheses, if they wish to make all the other blessings of the Shema, the Gam Pesukei de Zimra, and also the verses of song, and their blessing, they have the right to do so. And even though they're not obligated, they still can do so. Now, we find even more than this. And we talked about it in the class, the other class. Say, for example, sukkah. Women are not obligated to sitting in the sukkah. And actually, in Chabad, a lot of times, the women don't sit in the sukkah. It was sometimes sitting in the sukkah was a real pain. I mean, today we all have our sukkahs and build in our backyards. I mean, fortunately, but sometimes it would be like one sukkah for the whole neighborhood. And you had to go walk down the block. If it's Yom Tov, it's Shabbos, it was another headache because if there was no Erev over there, how to get there? So it was a whole thing. But so the women didn't go through that trouble. They ate at home. They weren't obligated. But yet, on the other hand, the women that do go and do it in the sukkah, what they do, they'll make a blessing and they'll say, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu leishev basukkah, to sit in the sukkah. Now you're going to ask, what are they saying? You commanded us to sit in the sukkah. God didn't command them to sit in the sukkah. Why are they saying, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos, you gave us the mitzvah to sit in the sukkah, but we weren't told to sit in the sukkah. Same thing would be with various different things, the lulav, for example. The lulav, the same thing. You say, women will shake the lulav. They'll say, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al netilas lulav. And the Alter Rebbe explained earlier that the women are allowed to make that bracha. They are allowed to make the bracha. And in context, it would mean commanded our all, the Jewish people, commanded us. Us doesn't mean us as individual. And, you know, apparently the way it works is that when a member of the household or the head of the household, let's say the husband, when he does the mitzvah, he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for his family. He's doing it for his wife as well. So it's as if, because they're considered to be together. So therefore, just like by the Shabbos candle, it works the other ways. That mitzvah is given to the woman to light, but it's the whole house is lighting the candle. What happens if the woman is not home? Still the man would light the candles because it's the mitzvah for the home to have the candles lit. So in some mitzvahs, the obligation is not there for the woman directly. But if they want to do it, they were commanded because they're part of the Jewish people and they're part of the Jewish community. But that's not what we're talking about here. That's when they say, Asher kidishonu b'mitzvosov. They're actually saying, you sanctified us with the mitzvahs. And then the question was, where did they sanctify this with the mitzvahs? They're not commanded to do so. Still we're saying, as a part of the Jewish people, they were commanded. But over here we're talking about doing the blessings that precede the Shema, the blessing of Pesukei de Zimra, Baruch Sha'amar, and all these things. As we see, the reality is that women daven and they do the whole blessing. But it seems clearly over here, the obligation for women to daven, as the way it says over here, would be, their obligation would be to say the Shema, would say Vayomer, because it has its Yisrael, and then it would be the next bracha, and the Amida that follows that would be the minimum requirement for women to daven. If they want, they can do the other things as well. But that would be, it's important. I don't know if anybody emphasizes this because sometimes a woman doesn't have the time to daven all the davening. The question becomes, what is the most important part of the davening that they should do? But over here it says clearly what they need to do minimally. Yeah?
A few years ago, Rabbi Miller had a class for women to talk about the parts they have to do and the parts they don't have to do exactly. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure if you mentioned this over here, in which the Alter Rebbe brings out over here in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. All right, so now we'll do Siv Beis. Yes, sure.
Well, you're referring to the 4 hours. What was that?
To what?
4 hours.
Yeah. The time for doing the Shema, as we learned earlier, is it has to be done by a quarter of the day. Which means, a quarter of the day means you take the day and you split it into four parts. What does it mean? Four parts. You start from sunrise to sunset, or according to others, from dawn till stars come out. But that's also varies with different opinions. But from sunrise to sunset, you divide it into four pieces, and a quarter of that piece becomes the end of up to where you can finish the that you have to finish the Shema by a quarter of the day. That would be a quarter of the day. So really what it means is you have 3 hours from the day. 3 hours means three parts. An hour here does not mean 60 minutes. An hour means three parts, which means a quarter of the day. If you divide the day, between sunrise to sunset into 12, and you take a section of three of those parts, they're called Shos Beinonis, they're called here. Shos Manias, they're called timeless man. So that would be the time to do the Shema. In all the calendars you see, like on the table, they have a time. They says to you, up to when can you do the Shema?
Usually like around 9:20 something.
It depends, really. Actually, now the day starts earlier, it ends earlier. It ends early, ends very early, because the day starts very early. So it ends earlier as well. You have a longer day, but it still ends earlier. The way to do it always is, that some people do, they would always in the morning when they get up, they do the brachas, they do the Shema anyways, just to make sure that they do it in time. Especially on Shabbos, especially in Chabad, where the minyan daven's a little bit late, so you want to make sure that you do the Shema in time. Then we also have the Zman Tefillah, which is a quarter of the day. You see, that's a little bit later, because over there, a third of the day, which you divide the day into three parts, and then you can daven up till one third of the day. That's, or till midday, according to the other opinion, when you are stuck. That's what you can daven. Daven at least means the Amida. But over here, you see that there are certain parts that the women are obligated to daven, and then there's certain parts that they're allowed to, but there's some parts that they're obligated to daven. Let's do one more halacha here in Sif Beis, subsection 2. Katanim peturim mikriya shema. Minors who are not bar mitzvah or not adults yet are exempt from reading the Shema. Afal pi sheyesh ba kabbalas malchus shemayim. Even though it contains accepting the heavenly kingdom. Generally speaking, the Shema has special importance, as we learned throughout, because it has the acceptance of God's kingdom. So one would think that maybe the minors should have to do so. But we're still saying, no, we exempt them. We exempt them from doing so. K'moi she'p'turim b'shar kol ha'mitzvahs, just as they are exempt from all mitzvahs. Which means the Torah does not obligate a minor in anything. However, that he has not reached the age of education. Which means there is a time when the child reaches 7 or 8 years old, when they mature enough that they can be trained and to educate them. Because it would be inconceivable to expect a child to all of a sudden, when they turn bar mitzvah, to start doing the mitzvahs if they have not had any training beforehand. You have to train them and get them used to doing the mitzvahs so that when they get adults, they can do the mitzvah like anybody else. Before you take the job, you got to train yourself to know the job that you got to do. So there's a responsibility that the children have when they grow adults, so you have to train them as children. Now, that would be true with all mitzvahs. But there is an opinion, the Yesh Imrim, there is an opinion, Shafilu igiya lechinuch, lo yetilu al aviv lechanche b'kriya shema b'rechasel. that even if he reached already the education, the time that he should be educated, the father has not been given this responsibility to educate him as far as the reading of the Shema and the blessings. There's an exception. Why? Because most of the time, the father goes to shul, the child goes to school, or the child goes home in the old days, whatever they do. But the child, lefi she'en motze etzle bizman kriya shema ba'erev, he says differently than I said. But he says here, the reason why he's not there is, because during the night time, he's not there by the father, because he's at home at night time, so, or wherever the father is in the shul. But the Yashnu Babaker in the morning is still sleeping when the father goes away. So they say it is not obligation of the father to educate him. It is fitting to conduct yourself like the first opinion, that it is the obligation of the parents, it's obligation of the father, mainly to educate their children, their sons. Of course, this applies to the sons because the women aren't obligated in that in the first place. So obligating their son to do the Shema. Divrei HaKohel Chayiv L'Chanchoi B'Tfilo Imigia L'Chinuch. But that would be according to all opinions. That's a question with regards to Shema. But according to all opinions, the father must educate his son how to pray, to daven. L'Chanchoi B'Tfilo Imigia L'Chinuch. Once he's reached the age of education, that he can understand and he's mature enough, as will be explained in Simukuvav. Now here I'm not understanding exactly. I mean, if we're saying the way they used to do it in the olden days, so you know, they would read the Shema before the Netzachama, before the sun rose, exactly, and the Amida Shemanesi would do it as soon as the sun rose. So how is the child going to get up in between? I mean, if the reasoning was that he's not up yet, right? So that's why you're not educating him for the Shema. Well, how are you going to educate him then for the davening if he's not around? Perhaps he means that, yes, maybe not be around there, and they didn't trouble you, but later on, when it comes to the davening, you should go ahead. But I'm just trying to figure out what the logic is. If according to that opinion, since he's not around there at the time, so exempts the father from worrying about it, if the father leaves the shul and the child is not around, and that would exempt the father from having to train his son for a mitzvah which is from the Torah, because reading the Shema is a Torah, it's a biblical commandment. And we're saying because the father is not around, okay, so we're not going to trouble him. Well, okay, the father's not around, you're going to say, fine, let the father come back home later on, or let him make sure, or let him hire a teacher, or let him do something to educate him. But he didn't say that. He said, he's not there, so he's no obligation. We're not going to make him later on go train him after you finish davening. Only if you can hold him by your side, seemingly, then educate him. But don't have to educate him to do it specially if he's not there right then. So then the question becomes, how come by the davening, which is only rabbinically ordained, the davening doesn't come from the Torah, that comes from the rabbis, the davening form we have. Over here we're saying, he must, if he's not there for the Shema, he must not be there for the Amida either. I mean, I don't know how he's going to get to the shul or to the place exactly with sunrise going to get up. I'm not sure. I have to look into the source to find out exactly what is the various difference, the stipulations, the differences between that and that. But it says very clearly over here, the bottom line is that there may be an opinion that says you don't have to train them to do the Shema, which is also, we should follow the first opinion, that you do have to train them. But for sure, you have to train them to do the Amida, to do the davening, the Amida. That is for sure the responsibility of the father to educate and to make sure that the children do that.